Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we are going to hop right into it with five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, coronavirus hysteria has taken over the United States and most of the globe. It's going down, so we are going to give you a little advice. And honestly, we're probably going to freak out some too. Round number two, the GI Bill is a wonderful thing until your school is charged with, quote, erroneous, deceptive, or misleading practices, so the VA then terminates all new enrollments. Round number three, integrity violators in the military, that's hard to believe, but some little birdies, aka you guys, told us about the craziest lies people in your unit ever got caught up in. Round number four, hear a story of a spooky Air Force crew that just got awarded for their bravery in a 9-hour firefight against ISIS back in 2019.
Like spooky or like spooky spooky?
Buddy, I'm talking spooky.
Oh, man, boy. Wow.
Spooky as they get. Man. Yeah, I know you love it spooky. We made it extra spooky for ya. Yeah. And then finally, round number five, we're going to hop into the doggy bag because I was a canine trainer for a long time in the Marine Corps. We haven't done this in a while. We reached out to you guys and saw and tried to figure out if you had any questions for me. I'm going to answer some of those. And all of that today is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Shady Rays. If you're a sunglass person and you don't have these sunglasses, you are
loser,
an L7 weenie, mm-hmm. because they are the highest quality shades by far than less expensive brands. They have the best warranty in the sunglasses industry. And in fact, whenever we first got this ad read, I think it was a couple years ago, I actually called Barstool's like advertising people, the sales side. I was like, this can't be right. There's no way that this warranty is actually that good, because even if you lose them, If they're lost or broken for any reason, it doesn't matter what happens. You drop them in the ocean, the lake, they're going to replace them. Try that with high quality ones.
I can attest to this. As a regular sunglasses user, they're pretty awesome about it. And I actually like their styles. I got a weird shaped head.
They look good, which is important. A lot of times, sunglasses that are more accessible and have great warranties don't exactly look stylish, but these are quite the opposite.
Indeed.
Because you would think sunglasses that cost $250, $300 would have a warranty like this, because it cannot cost that much to make those sunglasses. I don't know how Shady Rays does it. I don't know how they stay in business, because if you use our promo code ZBT50, you're going to get 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. You buy one, you get one free. So then you're going to get two pairs for $48.
That's unbelievable.
You can't do that anywhere else. And they'll replace them if you lost them. It's basically like having eternal sunglasses. Go to ShadyRays.com. Use the promo code ZBT50 for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. Buy one, get one free. Unbelievable deal. Let's get started with the show. With the coronavirus scare that's going on, it's incredibly exciting too, right? Even though it's scary, I wake up every day and I'm like, what's going on? What did I miss in the 7 hours that I was asleep?
Who's got it now? Tom Hanks is sick. Basketball is canceled.
Our pets have fallen off.
I felt pretty good about that joke. That's the third different place I've seen that now.
Twitter, Instagram, and I said, I got to get it on the pod, and I'm going to say it on radio again tonight. And probably tomorrow.
I think you should say it several times. Because with this news, I mean, it really does. Whenever somebody like Tom Hanks gets it, you're like, oh, shit.
Tom Hanks, for all intents and purposes, is viewed as invincible. He's like the best we have to offer as a society, so he shouldn't be the one that's getting this virus.
Can't help but notice that neither of you men mentioned Rita Wilson in any
of this. Oh, yeah, also Rita, his beautiful, beautiful
wife. Fuck
Rita
Wilson, right?
Wow. I mean, you know what? Mm. Regardless of gender, let's just be honest. Rita Wilson is not on the same level as Tom Hanks.
Wow.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Come on.
Like celebrity style and everything, but I also want to point out to the fact, I disagree with Cons. He's not the best that we have to offer. That would be our troops, Con.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, you're right. My bad. My bad.
Troops, just a little bit, because the troops are affected by coronavirus too. I think whenever you have something like this and it shuts down a multi-billion-dollar industry like the NBA or the NCAA tournament that might happen as well, you're like, holy shit. That's when you know something serious. I mean, think about it. They canceled for the entire season. They're pushing it back. After 9/11, baseball was only canceled for like 3 days.
Yeah, it's like 3 days a week, something like that.
Now,
yeah.
I don't want to get tinfoil hatty on anybody, but I'm putting my tinfoil hat on. I feel like there's something going on. They're not telling us. They're canceling all this shit. I don't know, man.
No, I think it's just at this point. Well, I think at this point it's just the risk mitigation. They just have, and once you see one large organization or one large institution say, "All right, we're stepping away from this and we have to shut down," everyone is almost, their hand is forced. They have to follow suit.
It's tiny aliens.
Okay.
I don't know if it's tiny aliens, but the report that came down from the doctor that went and briefed the Senate committee and said that it's possible that 70 million to 150 million Americans will get the coronavirus when it's all said and done is crazy. The fact that the German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, said that they think that 9 out of 10 people in Germany will end up having it at some point. Even if the current death rate, which is inside the United States, is at 4%, if you're at 150 million, you might have multiple millions of people who die from
it.
Yeah, but you know what? You might also not. It might not. I think that's worst
case
scenario.
Yeah, but I don't understand this, Cons.
Like, you're so like, you
are
the
dude. There's a guy on the NFL Network that was talking about coronavirus tough guy. That's you, Cons. Yeah,
I'm not trying to be tough guy. I'm trying to be no. It's not a hardo. I'm just trying to be optimistic about the whole thing. I think you have to brief everyone on worst case scenario, and that's what's going on right now. And everyone needs to act accordingly. Be smart. Wash the hands. Hand sanitizer. Avoid large groups. Do all that. Be smart.
Tweeting Clay Travis yesterday was egregious.
Yeah.
That was just an interesting stat. Whatever. I think, Chaps, you're just a little mad because we put out a poll on ZBT yesterday. Most likely to get coronavirus, Chaps, Kate, Cons, and, of course, Navy Coast Guard. And I think you thought the results were going to be a little different when, in fact, they are pretty honest, if you ask me. 48% for Chaps, 20% for Kates, and only 10% of people think I'm going to get it. And I would argue those 10% of people are just 10% of people that don't actually like me. They don't think I'm actually going most likely to get it. Yeah, they're hoping I get it. They don't actually think I'm most likely to get it.
It's been having a big effect on the military, too. Coming to us from the New York Times, at the Pentagon, they're trying to figure out how to deal with this for our national security. This disease or virus or whatever has become a national security problem. The Army recently suspended deployments for troops and their families into South Korea and Italy, but deployments for Marines, Air Force, and Navy personnel continued through Wednesday, but that could change. Also, military partners in South Korea and Europe have canceled planned exercises in the Arctic, the Middle East, and South Korea, and the U.S. have also. But I will say, I mean, is there any better feeling than canceling plans?
If you're sitting there and you get not just training canceled, but you get Arctic training canceled.
Yeah.
That is like, buddy, you have won the fucking training lottery. Not going to Arctic training? Yeah. Come on.
I'll agree with the Arctic training. That would be pretty awesome to have that canceled. But I hate when plans are canceled. I love having plans. I love having things to look forward to. I love doing things. I love being around people.
You are a social butterfly.
But going to the field, though, there's no better feeling than that.
If I'm back in the military and you're telling me field exercises are canceled, yeah, sign me up for that. I'm talking about my own personal life. Like, I was supposed to go to Madison Square Garden tonight for the Big East tournament. Hadn't been in years.
Yeah.
Not allowed.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to going to Coachella or something like that, and that's canceled. You're disappointed there. But if you're just going out to dinner, like say whenever I come up to New York, and I'm supposed to go to a Broadway show like Feidelberg and people that I don't talk to every day, I would be really excited to go. But if I was back at my hotel after radio was over and I got a call from Feidelberg and he was like, "Hey, actually, I'm not going to go. I'm not feeling well," I'd be stoked, man, that I just got to be able to stay in my hotel. It'd be awesome. I have Firewatch to give out today. Normally, we save this at the end of the show, but this is too important because there's certain things that I say that are little staff and CEO-isms, like one is safety is paramount. Safety is paramount when there is a global pandemic, probably more so than any other time, except for whenever you have active shooters on a line. I will say this, Rudy Gobert is the starting center for the Utah Jazz. I've had interactions with Rudy Gobert. He actually said that he was going to give McCartney his Defensive Player of the Year award whenever he saw McCartney's viral clip of her playing basketball. But recently, Rudy Gobert was having the sniffles. He had a little bit of the signs, and he thought it was really funny. So he went out in a press conference, started touching all the microphones after he coughed and coughed into his hands. He touched all the microphones, went into the locker room, started messing with all the other guys' stuff. Now, three members of the Utah Jazz have coronavirus. They've tested positive, and the entire NBA shut down because he was touching basketballs. He was interacting with refs, and that could just cause a wildfire. So now the NBA is completely shut down, and I think it's because Rudy Gobert had a little bit of ignorance, a little bit of hubris, and because he did that, I want him to read nothing but hand-washing techniques, and he has plenty of time to do that, because Rudy Gobert, until the NBA resumes, I'm going to sign him Firewatch every single night from 2000 all the way until 03, because he has nothing to do the next day because his career is canceled for the moment. Rudy Gobert, you've got Firewatch, bitch.
One thing I will say about the NBA in particular that was kind of sad to see was what Vince Carter said. If this is the way his career ends, that, what a disappointment that would be. If this is how it all, like a very illustrious career, and for him to end this way, really not on his terms, it would just be a bummer for those of us who grew up watching him.
And he came in overtime. They were down by six and came in and nailed his last three-point shot. You can't, mm-hmm. I think you just leave Vince Carter on the bench for that moment. I hate seeing legends like that reduced to like you're the 12th man and you're kind of like the manager at Rutgers who gets his last game in a blowout. You get to come in. That shouldn't be how Vince Carter's career ends.
No, but I think ultimately we'll just remember Vince Carter for all the great highlights and all the great moments, and things like what happened last night will kind of just fall by the wayside.
Vince Carter's greatest moment is in an American uniform when he's dunking over the 7'4" guy by far.
Correct.
Like completely hurdled him. That was probably the best in-game dunk of all time.
I know too much about sports and I'm too engaged in it to contribute to this conversation because I don't want to make you guys.
Well, I appreciate your honesty and I appreciate your concern.
Thank you.
Kane, we're going to take that
Thank
concern
you.
And we're going to move it into round number two.
All right. Round number two involves a little GI Bill talk. It was one of the best things that the military gave to me was the GI Bill. Mm-hmm. I dropped out of college with a 1.8 GPA in communications. I was an absolute moron. And somehow, through the grace of God, I was able to go to Fordham University full pay, which GI Bill paid for it, and they were a yellow ribbon school, and it was because they knew that even if I sucked at classes, the government was going to pay them, like, no matter what.
Because otherwise, you're not getting into Fordham with a 1.8.
The GI Bill makes you an automatic paycheck for any university, which Fordham was great about it. They didn't just, okay, we got our money, cast her to the side. They had special programs for veterans. I had like a mentor there who took me under her wing and showed me the ropes and really made sure I was successful there. Ended up graduating with a 3.9 people.
There you go. I was going to interrupt and say it's not because you're Katie Dumbbrains. It's because you were Katie Rugby and getting your drink on.
Katie Boozebag.
Yeah. Katie.
Katie Parties.
Katie
Jungle
Juice.
Katie
Candy.
Oh,
not anymore,
Katie Nose Beers.
Wait. Rose Hill or Lincoln Center?
Rose Hill, but I had a couple classes at Lincoln Center. But anyways, that opportunity was afforded
to me.
And
before we go on, I want to say to all the people who have done a little bit of nose beers and want to still go into the military, that is a perfect example of the moment of truth that boot camp does not apply. Like, you just got to keep that shit to yourself. There is no way they have evidence that you ever did cocaine.
Yeah, right. My recruiter said, why don't you keep that to yourself?
Yeah, you passed the test, you're good to go.
Marijuana once. Right, that's the deal. Anyways, yeah, but really, and Fordham, starting to go there and the opportunities that gave me, it turned my whole life around. So very grateful to the GI Bill. But not every university is like Fordham. Not every university has your best interest at heart, even though you're an automatic paycheck if you're a veteran going there. And there's a lot of schools that you hear about that are shiesty McShiesterson out there. And so coming to us from Dylan Gressick and Leo Shane III, Very fancy.
God, I wish
times.
I had a Roman numeral in my name. I almost did. My dad's actual name is Loris Mitchell Cothran. He goes by Mitchell. I was almost Loris Mitchell Cothran the
Loris?
Could you imagine me if my name was Loris? My life would be completely different. Here comes Loris, that bitch.
I like it.
Here comes that baby back bitch Loris to bother us
fucking
again.
Oh, it sounds like a Dr. Seuss character. I like it. The Loris. A little military journey. Anyways, so coming to us from the Military Times, the VA is suspending educational benefits for new students enrolling in programs at 5 universities, citing erroneous, deceptive, or misleading enrollment practices. And if you're using erroneous in something, it's
erroneous.
Serious. Yeah, erroneous.
Erroneous on both counts.
They identified, and can you guess a couple of them? Are you looking? One right off the bat that I knew before I even read it. I was like, I bet University of Phoenix is one of them.
Yes.
It is the first one, yeah. University of Phoenix, Colorado Technical University, American Intercontinental University, Bellevue U, and Temple University. That was
a huge surprise.
That was a big surprise to me. They were all found to be in violation of U.S. law, which prohibits illegal advertising, sales, or enrollment practices. So, for example, the issue with Temple ended up being that their business school, not even the rest of the school, just their business school, had inflated the numbers of graduates who found jobs right away for the U.S. News and World Report.
Just
stats
their jobs in general
year.
Or jobs for veterans that have
No, just in general.
In general, okay.
But you can't, because then it might make veterans want to go there. They say, oh,
got
you
it,
know, so it's
it.
Deceptive enrollment for everybody, but that includes veterans. So they were inflating their numbers, so they moved up in the best colleges U.S. and World Report ranking thing. That was enough to it, then it blankets the entire school for all veterans. So even if you're a veteran in Temple's hospitality undergrad, you're fucked because of the business school being a liar. The same thing I was saying when my brother went to Rutgers. He was at Rutgers Law. As he was graduating, they got caught doing the same thing, inflating their numbers to make the school look better than it was to get new students in. But anyway, so now they'll be suspending payment of educational assistance for the education and training of new veterans and other eligible persons. So if you were just getting out and you got accepted to Temple, you had your plan, you can't.
That stinks. You didn't even do anything.
Or especially University of Phoenix. Like, a ton of students don't realize a lot of these shiesty for-profit schools. But the agency's suspension applies to all new enrollments, both in residence and online, effective May 9th, 2020, unless the schools can provide contrary evidence to refute the evidence provided.
And they're going to be trying their asses off because the amount of money that comes into these places is astronomical. They get huge benefits that come there. They have so much money that they even want to do advertising on shows like ours. Recently, we had an opportunity to have like a presenting partner, which was going to be Ashford University. And we said no, because of the way this is what they do. And Ashford is number 6 on this list. They brought in last year their GI to it, or over the course of the GI benefits, over $250 million in revenue that they brought into Ashford University through the GI Bill. This kind of stuff is pervasive. And for the VA to say,
and that's just since 2017.
Yeah. And to say that's enough is enough for the VA to do that is really saying something, because as a homeowner here, the amount of things that I get with the VA seal of approval on it, like to refinance your house, to do all these different things, to take financial, really to take a financial hardship on a veteran, it's almost predatory to a degree. Mm-hmm. And for the VA to finally step in and be like, enough is enough, that's when you know shit got really serious. These schools, it's bullshit to do it. And you mentioned Fordham. I want to mention my school too, UTSA. Fantastic about it. They have a complete office that's designed just for veterans. We have one of the largest on-campus veteran percentages of any school in the country. And whenever you go there, they help you work through your GI Bill. They help you get the classes that you're going to need. And in fact, they have a counselor that if you're taking a class outside of your degree program and one that's not going to help you, you have to go in and sign extra paperwork to say that I realize that I'm doing this. They try to get you to graduate as fast as possible.
I think that's so important, too, because obviously you're going to school after the age that most people enroll in college. So that alone can be intimidating. And then you have this whole other career, this whole other life to then transition back into being a student when you're away from academia for so long is very challenging. So I think that's so important that both these universities that you guys mentioned where you guys went, it's very refreshing to hear that they have these programs where they really take care of the veterans.
There's a lot of really good ones, but just make sure you do your research. If you just Google the name of your university and then like plus veterans, plus fraud or plus like bad, like shit will come up right away. Like just do your research.
Well, I think the misconception is people just think, oh, it's a school. Like a school wants everyone to succeed. No, schools are businesses.
Yeah.
They have so much to concern themselves with on a daily basis in terms of bringing money into the university. And that is not an exception for anybody.
Well, the most to look out for is for-profit universities like University of Phoenix, DeVry, Strayer, Colorado Tech on the list. Because
Ashford.
Oftentimes they receive post-GI Bill benefits, but they spend less than 20% of every $100,000 on tuition, instructional spending. Mm-hmm. So they get all this GI Bill money and then you barely see any return on it.
A good rule of thumb
is
if you're
money.
Watching a major sporting event and they are advertising for veterans to come to the school, you probably shouldn't go there because they're spending a lot of their money
exactly.
on advertising. And to Khan's point, you are a little bit older. Whenever I got out, I was 31 years old. I had been in the Marine Corps for almost 10 years. And whenever I got there, you're sitting around all these students who still look like babies. They look like the privates that you used to have. And I remember my very first assignment that I got when I went back to school was the dangers of underage drinking. And it's like, dude, I'm 31 years old.
Also, if they have names like this, these are the top. They put out this list of bottom of the barrel for-profit universities that kind of take advantage of veterans. You don't get a high return on what the GI Bill gives. If it has a name like Ultimate Medical Academy, maybe don't go there.
Chaps, your dad's school is here. Loris College.
Loris College is at the bottom.
Spelled very different, though. Spelled different. Different Loris. We don't want that. The most surprising one on this list to me would be Tulsa's Welding School. I wouldn't have thought that the welding school would be that popular.
A little more integrity.
I had friends that went to a golf academy after they got out in their GI Bill. And they like learned how to manage golf courses with their GI Bill. And part of their GI Bill was playing golf every single day to learn the courses and learn how it worked. Yeah, so there's all sorts of stuff you can do out there. Just make sure it's legit.
And just be smart about it. Go Google, make sure you do your research before. But definitely, we want you to use your GI Bill. If you're an enlisted person and you got out and you don't use your GI Bill, that is such a waste. Even if you do half-time, you do online classes, or do whatever you got to do from a reputable school, it is so worth your time. You earn that benefit. Take the benefit because you deserved it. All right, let's move on to round number three. Round number three, we're going to talk a little bit of integrity violators. And honestly, whenever I was in, accusing somebody of being an integrity violator was one of my favorite things because it just cuts to the heart of who you are as a person. It's the reason why when we went to the Army-Navy game, I love the fact that Cons didn't sing because being able to accuse him for the rest of time of being an integrity violator is one of my favorite things going on the podcast. But some of the stories are a lot bigger than not singing the alma mater of a college rival. Some of these stories that we got whenever we reached out to the ZBT platoon are unbelievably bad. Now, it is part of military culture, I think, to exaggerate. I don't know almost anyone who hasn't gone to a bar, had a couple of whiskeys, and didn't exaggerate their story just a little bit. I think that happens constantly, right?
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
That
absolutely.
Definitely happens. But also every unit has that one or two people that just already come from like a wacky story. Mm-hmm. They have a wacky ass life. What they do in their free time outside of work, wacky as hell. You're just like, okay. Mm-hmm. But then they always end up getting caught up in that lifestyle. They end up getting caught in a huge lie that affects their military service somehow. And they try to integrity violate their way out of it. And it ends up creating something way bigger and way worse. So we asked our followers to tell us the biggest lie someone in your unit ever got tangled up in. And the answers were great. But among them was this follower at Penn Stripes told us about a story from Vandenberg Air Force Base in 2014 that it's kind of long, but hold on to your butts. It is a doozy. So Penstripe says, I just PCS'd in and met a group of coworkers. He was in security forces that seemed cool and we'd all hang out and drink. Well, one particular girl would share stories of her life that were really personal. She told us that she had lost a baby when he was a year old due to cancer that ran in her family, that her dad was in remission from the same cancer. And so immediately I'm thinking, man, this girl's life has been really fucking rough. Well, a month goes on and she starts complaining about headaches, so she's sent home from work one day to go get seen at the hospital. The next day, I come into work and everyone's crying. There's a weird commotion. We fall into formation for one of our daily briefs, and the girl falls out in front of the formation. There's a weird commotion, and she starts telling everyone she has brain cancer. She starts crying, tells everyone, went to the hospital. Now I also have this cancer. Mm-hmm. So a few weeks go by. Everyone's totally shocked and distraught, he said. A few weeks go by without any real updates, and the squadron decides to make bracelets in her honor to sell and donate the money to support her.
Wow.
Yeah. Our CC, I guess that's our commanding officer, authorizes the use of them in uniform. So they were even wearing these bracelets
that's
in uniform.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. And then some of the people in the unit came up with the idea to shave their heads for her as
Man.
Well. I said we shouldn't do this until she's in radiation and starts losing her hair.
Naturally.
And I got completely destroyed by my supervisor.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And called a piece of shit for not participating.
Yeah. Like, fuck you, you pussy. What are you? Mm-hmm. You got to shave your head support.
You heartless
her.
Bastard.
Why are we going to wait till she's bald to do this? We got to do. We're a unit. We're a family. We're wearing fucking bracelets.
And exactly, a unit is like a tight-knit family, yeah. And so if you're the one going against the grain, you're not going with the family, you're fucked up. So he gets called a piece of shit for not shaving his head. The rest of the unit shaves their heads for this woman.
Imagine one if all the other ladies did, too. Woo.
Yeah, that would have been... I'll have to ask him about that. One day, he says, I was going to her house to meet up before a promotion ceremony, and I walked in on her with a knife to her throat. I talked her down and got the knife and called 911. She was verbally distraught over the cancer situation and kept repeating how she couldn't do this anymore. I started to get really suspicious, though, because all of her medical follow-ups would get canceled, and she never had any more answers. So I started talking to my flight leadership, along with others, about how this seemed fake. I was called a dick because I was calling out a girl with cancer. Again, nobody believes him. Mm-hmm. So myself and another individual did some digging, found the girl's mom's phone number, and contacted her asking if she'd heard anything. Turns out she was never told anything about the cancer. Her mom flew out and we met her at the airport. And on the drive to the base, we found out that one, she never had, this girl never had a son. And two, her dad never had cancer
either.
Okay,
well, her mom at this point, kind of a blue falcon.
Blue falcon. Really throwing her under the bus here. A good mom would have rolled with it and been like, oh, yeah.
My God, mom. I'd be so pissed if my mom threw me under the bus like that. Like, oh, actually,
I know.
Mom, you're ruining my cancer story.
For realsies. Well, the girl's whole life was a lie. Once the truth came out, we were immediately told it was unauthorized to wear the bracelet and uniform anymore. And that was the end of it. She was sent to a psychiatric hospital for evaluation. And then the whole thing was swept under the rug. And that was the last we heard of her, he says. So it was
probably
like,
the right move from the command, because obviously you walk in with somebody on their knife on their throat. They're going through some shit. To make up a story of this level, like, and I don't
if you're going
light
that far
of mental illnesses, but that definitely qualifies.
Yeah, the whole trick to making up fabrications and lies is to make it something. It was like Ferris Bueller. He said, you know, if you get a worrisome mother, she'll take you to the hospital and you get found out. You go too far. If you fake cancer,
right?
That's a little too much. I had a buddy. His line in the bar was he used to tell girls he was on the Olympic bobsled team. And then they would say, like, what are you talking about? I don't recognize you. He's like, well, I always had a helmet on. That's not too far. And this is also before like, the internet
smart.
Was prevalent.
You got to be able to cover your tracks.
Exactly.
But yeah, this, and I'm not making fun if she had psychiatric stuff or whatever, but still, it is one of those stories from a unit that you're just like,
it's
what
a banana
the fuck?
Story.
Like,
definitely.
People shaving their heads and getting caught up in this lie.
Have you guys ever made up any crazy stories like that?
Not at that level.
Not to that level, but like a crazy story that you regret?
No, not from the military.
Oh, I
have people
one.
In my
not
unit
military,
get caught
but
up.
I have one for sure. When I was in kindergarten with Miss Whitaker, and Miss Whitaker was my teacher, and I was a young man that's brain bounced around a lot, had like ADHD type symptoms, was very immature, and she would give me these little bears that I had to put on my desk, and if I got in trouble, I had to cut one of my bears off. Well, I never got all the way to the list to the end of the day with all my bears where I would get a prize from the treasure box. And lest we forget, the treasure box at the end of a kindergarten day is like the best thing in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
At the end of the day, I was getting ready to cut my last bear off, and I started to weep in kindergarten. And she was like, what's wrong? I told her, because they knew that my dad was in the Navy, I told them my dad was in a plane crash and died.
So I can't think of a story of when I went with a really big lie. But one thing I always refrained from, whether it was trying to get out of an obligation or something, I never killed anyone.
Oh,
so I never said like, oh, grandma
died. Oh, I definitely
died.
Killed my dad. Yeah.
Because I always felt like that was bad juju to say someone died, especially if they were still alive. Like if you kill someone who's already dead, like right now, I don't have any grandparents. So if I, you know, said like, oh, my grandmother passed.
Right.
Yeah. Well, no harm, no foul. She's already in the ground. So you can't go too far and kill people, in my opinion.
That's true. I think the only thing was forging my mom's signature because I failed algebra like four times in high school.
I forged a lot of signatures in grammar school, but that was just because I didn't feel like talking to my mom about my grade.
Yeah, that's all
I did. If you didn't do that, you're a loser. If you never forged your parents' signature, straight up loser.
Okay, nerd.
Also, if you're our age and you never forge your parents' signature on Columbia House's 12 DVDs for the low price of $1.99, you're a loser.
I think I'm still paying that.
Yeah, probably so. I did that like 7 or 8 times, and each time I got their Nirvana CD with the baby's dick out on it. Another one of the stories that we'll go through pretty quickly here is we got it last night, and it absolutely blew my mind. This one says it comes from a former platoon leader. I'm not going to share his name. He asked me to keep it private. He said, very long story short, one of my squad leaders had me, the platoon leader, sign off on him getting a minor surgery. He was getting his ankle scoped. And then he submitted entirely different set of paperwork to TRICARE for approval without my or the CO's command or signature. Instead of getting his ankle scope, he electively got his leg amputated below the knee because of chronic ankle pain he got while BMX biking on block leave years prior. I found out about this when his girlfriend called me after and said, quote, he told me to call you once the surgery was over. The amputation went fine. Now, if you're the platoon leader, you're the company commander or something like that, and you get a call and all you're expecting is one of your soldiers was getting his ankle scoped and maybe like a light surgery where he'd be out for like 8 weeks or something like that, and then it's an amputation, your butthole must pucker so tightly that you could create diamonds in your colon. I mean,
because you're supposed to tell everybody above you that shit's happening. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm, right.
And now you're like, surprise, my guy's missing a leg.
And
like,
also,
what are you?
I would feel like you'd want to be there for something of that magnitude.
Yeah, right.
And it came to a surprise to the command because this was a guy who was a E6. He had 12 years in. He did fine with running and hiking and playing sports. He was still all doing that. They just thought that he was in light pain. So after he got the extra paperwork, they came back and sent it to him that now he had to get out of the army and things like that. But the CO, that his original CO, had lost his leg in a IED accident in Afghanistan, and he was able to stay in, still do his career. So this guy thought that he was going to lose his leg, be able to stay in because the CO was able to do that, wasn't able to do that, probably because he lied and like falsified government documents and got out with just a 40% disability after losing a leg. Incredibly stupid.
That is a doozy. That, yeah.
Losing
I've
a leg,
never
yeah.
heard of somebody in your command just getting their leg taken off and lying about it before. That's a new one to me.
Yeah.
We got a couple other good ones. I'm Jesse Bradley said, we had a boot lance corporal go out in the town the night before a field op when the armory pull was at 3 a.m. And then, I'm assuming he was late, he claimed that he was mugged by a homeless man while waiting for a ride, only to find out he had self-inflicted a knife wound. This kid stabbed himself. So he had an excuse for getting late to the armory and said it was a homeless man.
I gotta say though, I respect that.
I respect
that.
You
gotta respect that. To stab yourself and to really follow through. It's one thing to say mugged, but if you say mugged and you have no visible signs of being mugged, hard to believe. Come back with a knife wound? Ah, that story checks out probably.
And that also shows our civilian listeners how bad it could be to be late for something in the military.
For sure.
If you're willing to stab yourself. Pretty bad.
Yeah.
All right. If you're going to stab yourself, where would you stab yourself to follow in this gentleman's footsteps?
Oh, great question.
Man, I love my legs. I feel like it's my best asset. I probably do.
That's not something I expected to hear on the podcast.
I'd probably do my bingo wing. Under my bingo wing.
Then they could tighten it up, right, with the stitches. It'd almost be like
exactly.
a face.
Wow. Yeah. Like a free
I'd
surgery.
I'd be like, well, you're right. You mind just pulling it a little, tighter?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you stabbing?
I don't know if I would stab so much as I would gash my leg and maybe my arm. So it's just maybe a cool scar, and it's not actually going to, like, you know, because I'd be afraid that if I stab my leg, I might hit the femoral artery and kill myself.
Right, yeah.
Because I don't know exactly
where that thing is. That's taking goofing too far.
Yeah. You're going to have to slice your hand. You're going to need – I took a forensics class in my first time in college. You're going to need a couple defensive wounds.
Ooh.
You're going to need to do your hands a little bit too. I'm
true.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're listening, that's...
I would go in the same spot that I actually got shot, because it didn't really hurt all that bad. Like, it wasn't great,
so
but
you
it's
know.
I got pretty lucky there. So.
All right. Well, that's where to stab yourself if you're late for formation. Pamela, up next, at Legally Not Pam. She said, two of my section's members out of five, so there's only five of them in this little squad, were having an affair. So I guess both were married. They're having an affair, which others suspected. It was discovered after she texted a superior while he was TDY, and she was in the same city with geotagging.
Ooh.
So the person she was having an affair with went TDY, which what does that mean?
Temporary duty assignment.
Temporary duty. So that sometimes you're in another city for a course or something like that. And it turns out, so she messages someone else in the group, and they were able to see that she was in the same town as this guy. And so it got caught up.
How much harder must it be now to get away with things with cell phones?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, it used to be like, I don't know where I am. I can't call. It's like, well, no, you have a cell phone.
Well, recently there was a story of some high school numbnuts that went to high school. I believe it was in, like, Tennessee or some shit. And they went and they spray painted big dicks and, like, swastikas and shit like that all over the school's parking lot and on the sidewalk in front of the school. And these idiots forgot to turn off their automatic Wi-Fi connection. So whenever the four kids from the school went to the school, it connected to the school's Wi-Fi, and they immediately knew who the kids were because it was at 2 o'clock in the morning and their phones connected to the Wi-Fi.
Bingo.
Man, defensive wounds in the hands, turn off your Wi-Fi.
Just leave yourself
on at home,
these are
the keys that you should be taking
away. I hope somebody's taking notes.
Yeah. At Casper Schaefer, not so friendly ghost. Good one, Casper. I like his little. We had a good old boys club get outed. The master guns in the S3 penciled in perfect PT scores for all the other staff NCOs so they could do their time and retire without negative remarks for failing PT standards, nor making height and weight. Nothing ever happened to any of them. So they all got caught cheating.
Again.
Nothing ever happened to any of
them.
That's
too far. You got to mix in a few lower scores. You can't get all perfect scores, especially, like, you know, there's a good chance these senior non-commissioned officers don't exactly look the part of a perfect PT score. So you got to mix in a few, like, 275s, 280s.
Also, like you said, if you're not forging some sort of parental signature in high school, you're a loser. If you're not cheating on the sit-ups portion, if you're not helping your buddies, you're also a loser.
One, two, you're doing great. You're doing great. Eight.
Seven, 15, 82. Also, when I was a young Lance Corporal, my senior staff NCOs would have me take entire days and have me do all of their online PME.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I was the one, I think, because I was the woman, and they were like, she can do this desk stuff, and they would make me do all their desk
sexist.
Work that they had to do for the...
I used to do that, too, though. I would take one Marine, Corporal Dunaway was my guy at Quantico. I'd be like, Dunaway, go fucking take everybody's PME for the year. He'd be like, roger that stuff.
I would be doing, like, math for Marines for, like, a staff, for whatever. But anyway, a couple more of these. This is an elaborate one. At Luke Learly said, we had a guy in our unit who was home on leave and was racing his street bike. This was a huge thing, at least in my units, guys who got the little Gixxer bikes or whatever. Hmm. Well, the state troopers beamed him, and he ended up in a police chase but got away. But then he was scared to ride his bike home because he thought the cops would recognize him. Probably. He decided to rent a U-Haul to, like, bring it back to base so he could hide it. Mm-hmm. But for some reason wanted his leave to be extended to do this. So he called command and told them that his daughter and brother got into a bad car accident and he needed his leave extended. The whole story ended up coming out, I guess, that they all know this.
These are things that can be verified. You can't say things that can be verified.
Yeah.
Just like a death. You could verify a death. You can't go too far.
And if you're going to try to find a picture on the internet, like, for example, if you're going into work late and you have a flat tire, you have to go to, like, Google page 27 to get the picture. You can't go to, like, the first four or five because somebody's going to verify that. It's got to be 27 or go to Instagram, use flat tire hashtag and go back several years.
Yeah, you got to really do your due diligence before you do a good lie, before you violate integrity.
Yeah.
A couple other fun ones were about people hiding, like,
this next one.
Girls
is
and,
like,
babies and drugs and all sorts of stuff. I'm not going to read any more of them, but a lot.
I was going to say this last one. I think we should read this one because this is just like the epitome of the military. From Jesse Delaney. They found a shit ton of coke, weed, meth, etc., and a Tech 9 in the trunk of this troop's car at a Ram stop at the gate. He gets put in jail on base. He insisted he was innocent, that none of it was his, of course, and he didn't do any of the drugs. Blamed it on someone borrowing his car. Had us believing. My buddy was his squad leader and had his back even. Then they piss tested him and he popped hot for all of the drugs in the car and then some. Oh, and it came out to be that the overpriced rusted out Challenger he bought at 18% interest bankrupted him. Thus, he sold drugs.
Ah, the old crazy cycle of the high interest rates of a vehicle.
The
and what
butterfly
it does
effect
yeah.
of buying a car for too much interest rate. It'll get you every single time. Let's move on to round number four.
Round number four. First, let's start off the AC130. Mm-hmm. Can anyone describe what it looks like?
It's just a bad mother. It's a big old plane.
It's a big old plane.
And probably the most known nomenclature plane in the arsenal for grunts and shit like that. Because there's so many cadences that start C-130 rolling down the strip.
C-130 rolling down the strip.
But this is an AC-130.
Same difference.
They just say C-130. Right. Oh, yeah. I think so. But so pretty much this plane is thick with two seats.
Oh, yeah.
It's a
big,
beast,
thick boy.
Okay. And basically, it's the world's biggest flying artillery gunship, and the nickname is Hell in the Sky. This thing's an absolute beast. So an Air Force AC-130 crew was awarded 2 Distinguished Flying Crosses and 12 Air Medals a couple weeks ago for phenomenal gunnery in a firefight against ISIS fighters in Afghanistan in April of 2019. The skill of the air crew made all the difference for the guys on the ground, and Special Tactics Officer Major Jeffrey Wright, who was leading the fire support element of the firefight, described it. He even said, "I have to reach for examples of Normandy, Iwo Jima, Hamburger Hill to appropriately convey the degree to which the enemy were prepared and ready for our assault." So he's saying this was in the mountains of Afghanistan, and they had a really, really well thought out tunnel system. Mm-hmm. So every time they bombed them, they just went deeper underground. They came right back out. And so these guys on the ground are thinking they're making, you know, they're making strides. They're getting further into that. And the next thing you know, ISIS is coming up behind them from tunnels, which is fucking terrifying. So these guys on the ground are surrounded 360 by ISIS fighters, and it's like whack-a-mole. Every time they take one out, another just pops back up from somewhere else. So they called it the ISIS's Pentagon. That's how this was like the big spot. So the installation was dug into the side of a mountain with only a single path through, which friendly forces could assault. So again, too, a bottleneck. They're stuck. People coming up all over the place. The enemy was well-trained and committed, and 3 previous assaults by special forces was turned back in this area. So this was the 4th try to get in there. He said, "In my 20-plus years of training and experience, I have seen few more formidable defensive positions or more daunting to attack." So he and his 7-man special tactics team were tasked with supporting the Army Special Forces Command by going through on this AC-130 and providing fire. Long story short, the AC-130U gunship called Spooky 41, very spooky, was there to help the guys on the ground. The Special Forces Combat Controller radioed Spooky 41, and the air crew responded immediately with accurate fire. So all hell's breaking loose, and all of a sudden, this hell beast from the skies comes down. And the guys on the ground said it was one of the most accurate. For hours, these guys were up in the air, circling the scene nice and slow, and just taking these ISIS fighters out one by one by one. They said at several points they were engaging different targets simultaneously and on different nets. I had one net in each ear, and I watched and listened as they delivered salvo after salvo of fires with zero error. These guys were like sky snipers just fucking shit up.
Have you guys ever been in the position where you were on the ground and you were talking to like a director of flights like that's going overhead? Have you ever had somebody in your ear telling you what's going on in real time like that whenever you're on a combat mission? That shit is fucking unbelievable. Like whenever you're watching the planes come in, helicopters come in with Hellfire missiles or an A-10 gunship coming in, and you could hear what it sounds like when they're coming overhead and they say they're inbound, they'll be there in 15 seconds. They know exactly when it's going to happen over your head. There is no better feeling currently than having that. I can't imagine being on the other side, and I'm so thankful that we haven't been at war with somebody that has the air capability, because once you're on the ground, at worst, it's ground versus ground. Best case scenario, we have the air and you don't. We're going to fuck you up.
And it's such a huge, because there were men injured on the ground at this point. And when I know a couple times on my first tour, when shit was going down and then the planes come, you hear them coming and your morale just skyrockets. Yep. You're like, they're about to fuck shit up and drop
the intimidation
nightmare on these guys.
Is just ratcheted up.
But it just really brings your morale up. We're going to be okay. The big guns are here. Mm-hmm. So there's men injured on the ground. They said without Spooky 41's skill, the medevac helicopters would have certainly been shot down. Instead, besides some initial gunshots and IED blast injuries, no further harm befell American or Afghan troops that night. And Spooky 41, they say, was absolutely why. One of the members said, I've been to far too many memorials and seen too many folded flags. I didn't have to do that on this trip because instead of Americans giving their lives for their country that night, Spooky 41 made the enemy die for theirs, on time, on target, and in the most complex environment I've ever seen in training or combat.
It gave me chills.
Yeah, and that gave me like, full mass boner right there.
Yep. Yeah. And training, I think this circles back to, let's circle back and caveat, yeah. It would behoove, piggyback. But I feel like training can get so repetitive, and it's easy after the 20 millionth time. We would have to do just certain small things over and over and over. It's easy to start phoning it in.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly a group that didn't phone it in when they were training. Every single day, to be this accurate and this good, they gave training their all every single day. And this is an example that if I was a leader, I would use to. This is why this dumb shit we do all day long matters. And, because of moments like
and
that.
And it's a story like this that really shows why it's a complete consolidated effort with military branches across the board. Like, we give the Air Force shit all the time and the Navy shit all the time. Without their planes and stuff like that, we would be fucked on the ground. There's no doubt about it. I think there was a time where I was walking down a street in Karma where if it wasn't for helicopters and it wasn't for drones and a forward observer named Biscuit like talking to me over my earpiece, I think I would have died because he was telling me there's a heat signature in the road over here. Go check that out. There's a heat signature here 100 meters to your left. There's going to be a heat signature and you're pay more attention to your dog. They are giving you information that is invaluable because you're going through a combat zone. You're trying to watch if somebody's trying to shoot you. You're also trying to watch if there's bombs on the ground and things like that. Having the air support and the technology that we do is invaluable. Force multipliers for sure. Huge shout out to AC-130 pilots and all of their crew that are doing it. And one of the listeners did a pretty cool AC-130 job as well too. She flew Fat Albert. Her name is Katie Higgins Cook. She is a U.S. Naval Academy graduate. She's awesome. Some of her stories are incredible. And her husband also went to a prestigious military academy, and he is a Marine Corps veteran as well, but he went to Texas A&M. Shout out to the AC-130. We appreciate those that are flying in the sky. And Kate, what?
I just want to say, everybody, you know, we're paying all these billions for these sleek, fancy, fast-ass little planes that cost like a zillion, gazillion dollars.
Mm-hmm.
This big old girl came just rolling in. She's a little bit thick. She didn't mind. She just took them out. So shout out to the big girls out there. That's AC-130. Indeed.
Excellent. Can we call an AC, because we always call like the A-10, like I think it's called the Warthog. I think that's what
it's the Warthog, yep.
So maybe they should change the AC-130 to like the Big Bertha out there or the Trailer Park Tammy.
It.
Something like that.
Yeah. Trailer Park Tammy
of planes. Yeah. Just very effective. I like it. Trailer Park Tammy, AC-130. Perfect.
There we go. Let's move on to round number 5. We're going to do a little doggy bag goofing. For those that don't know, I was a dog trainer for a long time in the Marine Corps. My last duty station, I was the chief military working dog instructor for all Marines that were here at the dog school at Lackland Air Force Base. That's how I ended up in San Antonio and why I decided to stay, because I love this town so much. So occasionally we do a little segment that we call doggy bag. That's what we're going to do now, where we go out to the ZBT platoon. They ask questions and I try to give you answer about how to help your puppy at home. Kate, we'll start with you. What questions do you have?
I found this one from BTLow44 on our Zero Block 30. Loser.
You're saying loser a lot these days. What's
that
about?
I don't know.
Yeah, you're big loser accusing.
I was big for a while. I was like, that's a treat. And now I'm on to loser.
Yeah,
and then next
she
week
called
it'll be
somebody.
Something else.
She called somebody that called in on radio that just said that they went to the University of New Mexico. And she called him a loser for that. Like,
yeah.
Like, what's that about?
I don't know. It's very
not a big logo lady.
Hey, tread lightly around Katie these days.
Hmm. Yeah. She'll call you a loser in a heartbeat.
BTLow44 said, how do you train the dog to walk with you instead of pulling the leash to the point of asphyxiation?
Mm.
So I want to tell BTLow, it sounds like maybe you have a bit of a kinky dog on your hands.
Ooh.
And we don't kink shame here on Zero Block 30. And I say just let him do it.
That's ridiculous advice. No, they some of them can cause great damage to their trachea by doing that. One way to do it is it's called a heel away. If you go on YouTube, you can look up a canine move called heel away. And so if your dog starts to pull you one direction, if you're going down the road, you just immediately do like an about face, or you do like a to the rear march, and you start going the other way. Your dog should, and with a tight tug on the leash, whenever, as soon as you turn around, as soon as you pivot, you tug and say heel, and the dog will eventually start to learn, if I'm going this way, if dad or mom is walking me, if I want to go that way, I have to be patient. I can't do it on my own, because then you'll just keep going back the other way. You have to be patient, give this like 10 minutes, and every time that they do it correctly, give them a little verbal praise. Good boy, good boy, good girl, good girl. And then you move on and you keep going. Heel away is what it's called.
Dan Valentine 90 wants to know, is it true that pit bulls are the most dangerous breed?
I would say no. I would say that pit bulls are probably the most destructive breed. Like, if they are pissed and they are going to attack you, then yes, getting a pit bull off you is almost impossible. But there is, I mean, pit bulls, whenever they were originally brought in and they were bred, if you look it up, look up nanny dog pit bulls, and they were originally designed to keep watch over farmers' babies, and they would put them in they would put them in the house, and the pit bull would be protective of the kid. The way that things have happened now is that because people like the aggressive look, they like how it looks whenever a pit bull does get aggressive. They do aggressive things with a pit bull whenever it's puppy, like playing tug. When if you're playing tug with a dog like a Staffordshire Terrier or a pit bull, you have to know that what you're doing is the exact same thing that canine handlers do in order to get dogs aggressive to attack, like to become actual attack dogs. Don't play tug of war with your dog at home ever. If you have kids, or if you want your dog to be nice, don't ever play tug, like with a rope, with anything like that, because what that does is it instills an aggressive tendency in the dog. And in fact, do the opposite. If they want to tug, immediately tell them to stop it, to get it out of their mouth, and they're not allowed to play with that.
This is a difficult one, but very relevant to the times. At Not Zach said, "Chaps, what do I do if my dog gets coronavirus?"
Well, recently the CDC came out and Europe came out and said that dogs are immune to it. It is not a zoonotic disease that can transfer to people.
So if he gets it, if your dog does get it, he's advanced. He's like becoming probably halfway human, and you're lucky. So I'd just give him some tea with whiskey, something like that.
And did you know that dogs have like 280 different types of blood types? So if you have if you have a blood transfusion that you need to do with a dog, any dog can get a blood transfusion, any dog, from any other dog, one time. They are all essentially O positive blood types at first. And then the second time, if your dog requires a second blood transfusion, you have to get the specific 280 type of blood.
So how do the veterinarians of the world stock up on 280 different types of blood?
You don't.
Well, they don't.
Know.
If you need the second one, you're getting put down.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Hey, I actually had a question going back to the first question. Sometimes in more suburban neighborhoods, certainly not in cities, you will see owners and their dogs walking without a leash. So this question is a two-parter. One, do you advocate for walking without a leash in general? And two, how is it that you get a dog to be so well-behaved that you are comfortable walking without a leash that you can just give commands and you know the dog will not run away or do something bad?
Even I don't do that with Gus, and Gus is the most docile dog in the world. Unless we're at like an open dog park where I can observe and see what the other dogs are like, he's not going off a leash anywhere. I think that's incredibly irresponsible to have a dog off leash, especially one that's bigger. Like, you make other people nervous. I think whenever you have a dog off leash, people are nervous for you. I think it was
my
Kate,
goddaughter just got attacked. She got mauled in her yard just last week by a neighbor's dog who they repeatedly said, please keep him on leash. And they didn't. And it ran across the street and just got her pretty bad. I showed Chaps the picture. She'll be okay. But like,
yeah, I saw the picture too.
But that shit's traumatizing. Cool. And she probably, your goddaughter probably won't like dogs like for a while. Like it's something that's scary to you whenever you've been bit by a dog. Even as a canine handler, whenever I would get bit by the attack dogs, and it usually was just on my hand or something like that. But the process that you have to go through once you get a deep bite of getting it cleaned out hurts way worse than getting bit by a dog. I mean, it's terrible. I don't understand why people do that, especially in big cities. You're an idiot if you walk around with your dog without a leash on.
So you heard it here first. If you see someone without a leash on their dog, you walk right up to them and you say,
loser.
That's right. L7 weenie, big time. But my favorite thing to teach people about a dog, and I want to give a little puppy advice. If you, because we got a lot of puppy questions too, and like my dog's still shitting in the house and still doing that. People know for sure, if you're a parent, that whenever your kid is about to go to sleep and they're 3 years old, you don't put a bottle in their mouth when they're trying to get potty trained. You make sure that you stop giving them water or whatever at like 6:37, have them go potty one last time, and then you cut off all liquids. For some reason, it's gotten to the American mind mostly that dogs and cats and everything have to have water all the time. That is not true, especially whenever you are doing potty training. If you give them water, then they need to go outside, and then as soon as they go to the bathroom, you praise them. You bring them back inside, and you don't give them water until the next morning. That's the best way to get a dog potty trained overnight, is to cut off the water supply, cut off the food supply. Don't give a dog any food after like 2 or 3 p.m. You can feed them once a day in the morning, and they'll be fine. Let them go to the bathroom, and then do the same thing the next day. And the better food that you get, if you get like a really high-quality grain-free fruit, most likely your dog's only going to shit one time a day, and it's going to be right after they eat.
There you go. Well, join me next week. I'll be answering cat training questions. My cat Spork and I have been working on a couple things, so send them in.
All right.
That was dog goofing. Let's move on to save rounds, alibis. Kate, we'll start with you.
Jobs, I got a quick one for Captain Cons.
Uh-oh.
It's got to be a quick answer, but okay. I've just been dying to know. Coronavirus hits. You can only be quarantined.
Quarantined.
You can only be quarantined with three military movie people. Who is it going to be?
Kate Beckinsale from Pearl Harbor, because she's Kate Beckinsale.
Right.
And honestly, you could put me with two other people, and I really wouldn't care who. But, Private Joker, because I think he would be good from Full Metal Jacket with jokes and stories and discussions, topics. Okay. And then finally, I would go with Mikhail from Mikhail's Navy, the remake with Tom Arnold, because he always had like ice cream and beer, like Mikhail's ice cream, Mikhail's beer.
Ah.
So I got the lady, I got the conversation, and I got the provisions.
I like it. That's a well thought out plan.
Thank you.
Not bad at all. And I did this with Kate on the radio the other day because we are experiencing new words that we have to blog about. I want to give Cons the opportunity to spell as well. So your spelling word today, Cons, is quarantine. Spell quarantine.
Quarantine. Q-U-A-R-A-N-T-I-N-E. Quarantine.
Nailed it. Woo! Quarantine. Nailed it. All right, the second word.
I know everybody was rooting against me there. Okay, we got another one.
The second word that you have to spell is, and this is another one because the zinc in these helps people apparently when they've actually contracted the coronavirus. The second word is lozenges. Spell lozenges.
Oh, man. This is one of those ones that has like an extra letter in there that you're just not going to get. I'm going to say lozenges. L-A-S-S. A-N.
More like loser jizz. Ooh. Nobody likes that.
G-E-S? No?
Close. You almost had it, but you weren't even close. It was L-O-Z-E-N-G-E-S.
Get out. Get out.
I
know,
dude. I was saying on the radio the other day, I was writing a blog about lozenges. I was so far off that even the red squiggly was like, we have no idea what
that's very is. Annoying when you're not even close to where you can get the correct word to come through.
That's tough.
So you know how tough. I had to find it. I Googled Ricola to see what they were. They were lozenges. And whenever I saw the Z, I was like, whoa,
holy
a
shit.
Z. Jesus.
I would not have in a million years put a Z in there.
Yeah, no. So I don't think anybody would. I think if they gave that word out at the spelling competition, the what is it called? The Wix Bees? The Bees?
Something about the scripts,
Yeah, all right. Anyways, fuck it. What? Round two, or no, save round of cons.
Yeah, we're a mess today, man. We got corona brain. We're falling apart.
I want to give a shout out to listener Brian BBenz58. He sent me a DM about a World War II veteran who was being laid to rest, and he didn't have any family or friends. And then he tweeted me this morning, there were a whole bunch of people that showed up to this gentleman's memorial for Nathaniel Marshall up there in Brockton, Mass. And I think that's so great when these veterans have complete strangers who have never interacted with them in their entire life come to pay their respects. I think that's just so great. And then a couple more things. We were back to This Is Us this week. Good episode. Made me cry. Shout out to Army, who beat Navy in chess 3-1. I didn't know how chess was scored, but we beat them in 3-1. And then finally, we have the best bar competition going on here at Barstool Sports for the best college bar. And the Firstie from Army is the only bar that was nominated from any of the military academies, to include Texas A&M, I think. So if you do like the troops, you do like the military, vote for the Firstie in the Barstool's Best Bar competition.
All right. Oh, wait. You're going to kill me because now, you know, Cons and I do this. I got one more thing,
back.
Too.
We're circling back.
We have this listener. Kim is her name, but at R-E-C-C-E wife. And so, fuck. Sorry. We have this listener at R-E-C-C-E wife. Her name is Kim. And her handle is at R-E-C-C-E wife. And she put this tweet out there. So she says, so DH is away, and no offense, but I kind of thought I wouldn't hear the Zero Blog 30 voices for 7 months. Alas, he told the 17-year-old about them, and now this is my 6 a.m. again. So her husband deployed, and that he was the reason that they listened to Zero Blog 30 together. Well, he is gone now, but the husband told the son, the 17-year-old son, keep listening to Zero Blog 30. So now in the mornings when they wake up, when the episodes drop, that's what they listen to. So she said he listens to it, but so do my 12 and 14-year-olds. I feel bad for all
little
the
little problematic
been dropping
possibly.
Some duty balls in there.
Yeah, big time duty balls.
Yeah, so, but she put this tweet out there, and another Zero Blog 30 listener heard it, and he ended up sending for the 17-year-old Zero Blog 30 gear for this kid to wear. So his name is Jesse Delaney, and his handle is Jesse_Delaney38. And that just made my week. It's just really cool.
It did.
And I think she's Canadian. So he's in the Canadian military. And so he is U.S. citizen and sent it across the border, Zero Blog 30 gear. And I just really...
What I liked best about that interaction, too, she's like, oh, I didn't even expect this. We're in Canadian military. And Jesse said, you know, we're all one big military family, you know, so happy to support you.
Love it.
Awesome. Yeah, our brothers and sisters in the Canadian Armed Forces, a lot of them listen to the show, which we love as well. I have my save round is going to be, and I wish a motherfucker would. China, I fucking dare you, bitch. Don't you dare start saying that our beloved army is the ones that brought coronavirus to Wuhan. You need to own up. Have a little bit of integrity in your nasty little bodies and say, we caused it over here. We started it in Wuhan. We did. Now, don't try to pass the buck, China. How fucking dare you? How dare you? Sound the retreat.